AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. There's lots of reasons we love betting on FanDuel Sportsbook. You've got great odds and markets for the MLB, NBA, NHL, and so much more. They've got awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and you get your winnings fast. It's also fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. Discover the most popular same game parlays each day right when you log in. And FanDuel Sportsbook is now live in Ontario, Canada. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ so they know we sent you. That's J-A-N-D-J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Thursday, April 21st, and we've got playoff basketball up and the booty. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friends, the Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
You want me not to respond to up and out the booty?
Bro, it's up the booty and it's out the booty. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
What's that, Bubba's Jesus?
And Dragonfly Jones, aka Tyler.
Hey everybody, how's it going? We're up and out the booty today, obviously.
I am recorded coming to you live and direct from the cloudy skies of Wenatchee, Washington. So
the great state of Washington. Yo, y'all ever think of how pissed off Washington people have to be whenever they tell people where they're from and they have to put like state of in front of that shit? so people don't think they're from DC. Like everyone watching, be like, "Yes, I'm from the state of Washington." I'm like, "Damn, that's a lot of shit you got to say when you just don't know a motherfucker." Like it's a lot of syllables here, dog. You know, I tell motherfuckers I'm from VA. That's two syllables, bro. Clap, clap. VA. You know what I'm saying? VN.
Tyler's taking direct shots at me 1 minute into the pod.
Jackson,
we got to get you somehow, Jackson.
Yeah, are you a I'm a state of Washington introducer when you introduce yourself to people?
He says he probably says Seattle.
It's a West Coast
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
From the West Coast, people think it's Washington State. That's what it is.
I heard well, DMV think of the actual DMV. I thought of like, you know what I'm saying, the DC area. So like being from where we're from, I hear Washington, I don't even think of Washington State.
That's crazy.
Jackson, do you tell people you're from Washington or do you tell people you're from Seattle?
If someone asked me where I'm like from, I would probably say Seattle.
Yeah. I get that.
But I would say like a, and then I'd be like, but like a suburb though. Like I'm not from Seattle proper.
So. It's a real interesting vibe. It seems like the rest of the state doesn't fuck with Seattle at all. Am I correct in thinking that?
No, I think where you're at,
it's like heavy red state vibes outside of Seattle and Washington, bro.
Yeah, go east of the Cascades, and the vibes are a little bit weird.
It's some Shelbyville, Springfield shit going on there, huh? Motherfuckers eating lemons off the lemon tree, just fucking their face on that Seattle out there and shit.
Great.
Hey, Vinny's been trolling the fuck out of people out here too, because he keeps like intentionally doing the like, "Oh, that's so cool that you live in Washington D.C." He's done that like six times.
That is great. I love Vinny. Your kids are literally perfect. I'm jealous.
Oh man, crazy. They're so funny. All right, let's talk about the Celtics Nets game 2. Holy shit! I was expecting a lot of things. I was not expecting Kevin Durant to be 0-10 from the field in the second half. Kyrie to be 4-13 in the game. KD to be 4-17 in the game. I was not expecting the Nets to obtain and blow a 17-point lead. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting Steve Nash to not do much coaching, I guess, but I did not see the Celtics going up 2-0 in this way. What did you guys think of the game, Tyler?
Wow. That's a lot of shit going on, but that is a lot. I also saw that Kyrie and KD were a combined 1-17 in the second half too. I saw that stat. So add that to the spreadsheet. But I don't know. I'm not going to eulogize them going down 0-2 when they started a series on the road. You know, the home team is supposed to go up 2-0. But there's nothing there to inspire me to think that BK wins this series. It's, you know, like John, you've always been, bro, it's KD and Kyrie. They're going to win it all. That's all you need. You know, just roll it out to them. And I've always told you defense and coaching is where they're lacking. And that's what we're seeing in this series. We're seeing them getting out defended. We're seeing them getting shut down on the defensive end. We're seeing Ime run fucking laps around Nash. I always thought that was this team's Achilles heel. And I just think that that's how this season is going to end. I think it probably goes to 5. I will be shocked if it goes to 6 though. That's where I'm at right now.
I wouldn't say, I mean, Steve Nash, you know, like, I think get KD the fuck away from that man, please. As far away as possible from fucking KD. You know,
get a coach who gives KD some good looks. What the fuck?
We've already missed a year of KD's career. But I'm just saying, like, I think the difference is just, dude, like, KD hasn't had a single good moment in this fucking series. He's got his jumper blocked twice. Twice in 2 games. I'd never seen his jumper blocked before that at all. The 40-minute fucking game, all those 40-plus-minute games he was playing for the last 2 months have added up. So I think the difference, yes, he's Nash getting out, coaching, all that shit. But the difference is really KD has no fucking legs. He is tired. He can't even handle the fucking ball. I have never seen him lose his handle so much on just basic defense. You know, a slight defensive pressure. And then he has to go on the other end and guard Tatum? You know what I'm saying?
Does that not come back to Nash? Does that not come back to Nash running him ragged regular season? Does that not come back to Nash finding him open looks in his scheming? Does that not come back to Nash, though?
Yes, I'm saying yes, it does. But what I'm saying is with KD, like if he was just KD, they'd be fine. But he can't be KD because of what the fuck has happened the months prior just for him to make the damn play in. And now, like I said, he's guarding a god on one end, and on the defensive end, he's playing the best defense in the league. And they're beating the shit out of him.
Well, that's what I want to zero in on. We do not typically give advice to NBA players or coaches on this podcast, but here is some advice for Steve Nash. When your best player and one of the best basketball players in history gives a press conference and says, they're really beating me up. They're putting two and three guys on me every play. They're hitting me. They're being really physical with me. They're making it hard on me. I got to figure it out. Guess what? It's actually not his job to figure it out. It is your job to figure it
that
out.
That is him and saying, bro, help me. What the fuck? That's basically what that is.
So, and so here's my advice. Steve Nash goes up on the press conference and says the same thing. They're being really physical with him. They're really beating him. That's not your job. Your job is to do what every NBA coach since Phil Jackson, who has coached a superstar who's getting beat up during the playoffs, go up on that table and say, this is shameful the way the NBA is letting one of the greatest stars in history be treated. They're letting Boston mug this man. I've never seen a star player get this treatment. Do something, bro. Yeah. If you can't do something during the game, do something. Do something at the press conference. But like, this is basic shit. You can't just sit there and go, like, look at your assistants like, damn, they're really beating the shit out of KD tonight. This is crazy. Like, you are the coach. You got to do something.
Yeah. And bro, he's out there talking about, this is a new team. We haven't had these types of challenges before. Like, God damn, you are handling this the worst possible fucking way possible. You sound like a Christian summer camp counselor with these answers you're giving out right now, bro. This shit ain't gonna cut it, man. You gonna get your ass fired, dog. Like, I don't know. It's not something I was shocked of, because I knew that this is the way shit was going to go with this guy from the moment they hired him. You need coaching to win in the playoffs. And Nash is not a fucking coach. And we're seeing it play out right now. So, but like I said, I'm not eulogizing them. They're down 0-2 to a team, you know, that they played on the road. That's how the series is supposed to go after two games. So we'll see.
Have y'all ever seen KD this bad, though?
No, like, not a back-to-back playoff games. No.
The second half today is the first time in his career, regular season or playoffs, he's taken 10 shots in a half and not made a bucket. It's never happened before in his career.
But when you, I remember at one point in game one, I was like, and knowing who KD is, I was like, get the fuck out the way, KD. You looking like dead weight. Let Kyrie do his thing. I have never thought that, okay? And then I'm watching this second half, and I'm like, he had a couple really good looks, and I was hoping they'd go in. You don't think like that when you see KD play. He had nothing. And I mean, we looked at the last series when they lost to the Bucks. You know what happened was he played KD too much. By the end of it, KD was fucking cooked. He's done the same fucking thing. You know, also, man, get Simmons off the fucking bench. Put on some fucking clothes. I don't give a fuck if you ready or not, bro. Just stand in front of Tatum or something, G. We need something. I don't like Tyler
just
said,
stand there and wave your arms six? Like it's an inbound play.
Right. Use that 7'4" fucking wingspan for something, motherfucker, other than fucking passing waters down the damn bench. You know what I'm saying? Like it's. I like Tyler said, I don't see them doing anything more than six, bro. And if they get to six, that'll be shocking. I mean, they could fuck around and get swept around this thing the way I'm looking at it. Like those Celtics looking to me, like based on what we've seen with the Sixers and the Bucks getting beat and the Suns hurt right now, Celtics probably one of the top two, three teams like you know in this playoffs right now. I would say it's not three.
Yeah,
Jackson. Yeah, do you want to hop on? Is there anything we're missing? Anything we're missing, Jackson, from a Celtics fan's perspective?
Yeah, we're missing Jackson pulling. His...
I don't know. I'm a little bit dizzy from what John just said.
Think about it though. I mean, for real, Jackson is like who would you? The Heat look great, but they're playing a bum ass squad. They're playing Atlanta squad with Trae Young doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, like. Dude,
I think with Middleton's injury, you'd probably say the Celtics are the favorite to come out of the East at least.
Who's beating them out the West?
I mean, you're they're saying Booker might be back in like a week.
But a hamstring injury is a lingering injury, so he's not going to be healthy until the summer.
That's probably true. I still think the Suns with 75% of Booker would be favorites over the Celtics, And I think the Warriors look fucking dynamite right now, and they'd be
favorites. That's a fact, too. I forgot about the Warriors. I think the Warriors are probably the best team.
But I think the Celtics are probably third, considering Middleton's injury and Philly. I mean, they're up 3-0, but they don't look particularly good to me.
Well, so let's talk about that that Bulls-Bucks series. The Bulls win one in Milwaukee. DeMar motherfucking DeRozan with a career playoff high of 41 points. He was, with Giannis as his primary defender, 8 of 9 for 16 points tonight.
Shit.
That shit was special.
I mean, how are we defining primary defender? Because I don't think I ever saw, you know, Giannis run out to the top of the key and lock in on DeMar. Like, I feel like.
Oh, no. He hit him from the elbow a couple times, bro. I mean, yeah. And one of them was a up over the seven foot wingspan or whatever. I mean, he cooked him, bro.
He was cooking them bad enough where they put that nigga on Caruso. They said, go Caruso. Away. Take your ass over there to the white man, okay? You know, like, one of the best two-way players we've ever fucking seen. Get away from DeMar. He's fucking baking you. You know what I'm saying? And good for DeMar. What's hard to see is DeRozan and Caruso, who should be fucking Lakers if anybody had any sense, playing this well, beating the fucking Bucks. You know what I'm saying? And the small things that Caruso does are so important for winning fucking teams. But yeah, like, yeah, DeRozan, happy for him. Great night.
Yeah, like you said, the little shit he does. Like, he had the offensive rebound that locked the game up, basically. You know what I mean? So, yeah, and the fucking charge he took on Giannis just to add insult to injury. Like, refs are, you know, just pulling that shit out. Like, final minutes, like, yeah, we're calling this game, you know, the right way. If that was a one-possession game, they would not have let that shit, you know, been a fucking charge. But either way. Yeah,
and then Middleton, he hit a couple shots, and then, you know, Caruso gets on him and draws a charge. You know what I'm saying? Slows him down again. Yeah. Like, it's the little shit like that. You know what I mean? And Middleton, bro, he took 3 shots in the first half. Like, not made 3 shots, took 3 shots. The fucking Bucks can't win with Middleton playing mid as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like,
He goes out of the game, and Bud says after the game he has an MCL sprain. So they're going to get the MRI tomorrow and see what the severity is. But the Bucks went from, I mean, this is what I love about the playoffs. So not the injuries, obviously, but like, because injuries, you know, it's always a storyline. It always sucks. But we talked about it before the playoffs started. Like, you could draw up how this shit's going to go 6 different ways. And any one of those ways you could convince me is like the obvious thing. I thought the Bucks looked like a fucking lock. And honestly, even after game one, they looked a little shaky, but you're like, yeah, but, you know, they didn't play that well and they still won. Like, championship teams do that sometimes. And now after this game, they don't play that well. That little adjustment that Billy Donovan made, putting Caruso on Giannis right when Giannis went into takeover mode, and he just knew, okay, he's in the part of the game where he's going to the rack every time, and he switched Caruso onto him, and he couldn't get his dribble going. I mean, it's just like little stuff like that. Totally flips these series and makes you feel like the big narrative of what the next 2 months is going to look like. It totally disappears. And now you're looking at this shit like, damn, it's 3 or 4 different teams that I wasn't even thinking about that might be in the picture this shit now.
That charge on Caruso, like, that's how, like, you really, dude, Caruso, what is like 6'5", 6'4", maybe, you know what I'm saying? Dude, Giannis may as well pick that man up and put him in the third row. Insane. But anyway, your point is, yeah, it's crazy to see, like, we all have an idea coming in and nobody has a fucking clue.
Right. Caruso blocked Brooke Lopez tonight too, by the way. Just one of the funniest looking shits ever.
That's a cold ball headed nigga, man. That's a cold ball head ass nigga, bro.
A cold ball head.
That's what cold ball headed motherfucker that boy. I tell you, man.
The man bands be big as fuck too. Like, right, man. Be wide on this shit.
He got this
look like a goddamn turban out this motherfucker.
You know, he got that second head. You know how motherfuckers had a joint at the front and that motherfucker getting fat in the back.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And then at the back it got like another curb, like, we ain't done yet. You know what I'm saying? Right. You gotta follow us down this road too.
That man head like a motherfucker, boy.
Headed like a motherfucker. All types of nooks and crannies in that motherfucker.
You know that Caruso nigga, the one with the head.
The too old. The nigga with the head. Yeah, hell yeah.
The head ass motherfucker with the headband.
All that goddamn head and that big ass headband.
How the back of your head weigh that much, though? I'm surprised you keep that motherfucker forward, goddamn. You got that double head ass nigga there. Anyway.
There was a black kid in Long Beach who played high school hoops who I will not name, who had that head that got whiter over top of the headband, and the kids on an opposing team started calling him a Thomas Edison ass, light bulb ass.
You know when history coming to it.
So Thomas Edison is nuts.
Thomas Edison had asthma. We would call motherfuckers like that bullet head because they always had that motherfucker that hooked back here, nigga.
Yeah.
Get your bullet head the fuck around.
Oh, fuck.
That goddamn handsome Squidward head out this motherfucker. Yeah.
Yo,
strong as fuck.
Bro, we had a chick, the homies. That was my nigga. Her name was Monique, bro. But she would pull that motherfucking hair back. And had that bun and was sitting right on the end of the bullet. That bun was. So like, ooh, Monique, I hope she's doing well. Oh, bullet head, I hope she's all right.
Oh, bullet head, I hope she's all doing good for somebody. Right. I hope old bullet head done made good, I tell you.
Bro, I love being a country nigga, bro. You only hear shit like bullet head. If I would go back and say bullet head, everybody would know exactly who the fuck I was talking about. She was Monique, but she was really bullet head, nigga. I could say Monique and niggas be like, who? If I said bullet head, Monique, who? You know, bullet head. Oh, yeah, bullet head. Oh, yeah. Bro. Ooh, I wouldn't change me a country for shit.
Let's talk Sixers Raptors. This is like the perfect encapsulation of what basketball fandom is like. At the end of regulation, they drew up a play for Joel Embiid to shoot a three. He missed it. Everyone's talking about Doc Rivers is the worst coach ever. They run a similar play at the end of overtime. He makes it, and everyone's going, that's why Embiid should be the MVP. First of all, unbelievably difficult shot to be moving to your left, turn and throw it up with the right. And it was fucking pure, too. It Cash. Is not fair. It is not fair for a dude that size to have that move.
Embiid's ridiculous, man. He's fucking absurd, dude.
Seven foot 280 coming off a fucking screen, fading for the fucking game. Cash money. That's what we're seeing in 2022. And I tweeted this, and motherfuckers want to talk about Kuzi. Motherfuckers want to talk about a nigga that never even shot 40% one time in their fucking career, averaged 18 off of 19 fucking shots. This is who you fucking, right, bro, a fucking bum. We're watching literal aliens do alien shit, and you want to tell me he wasn't Bob Cousy. Get that fucking ghoul off television.
That ghoul. That demon.
Get that fucking devil the fuck off television. Devil. Get that blue-eyed devil the fuck get away from me.
Get that banshee off my face.
Get that fucking jackal the fuck out of my face. That bitch ass motherfucker there. What about Cousy? What about Cousy? What?
Yeah, what about Cousy?
Even JJ Redick, motherfucker. I'm like, bitch, JJ looked like he wanted to put his ass on him, nigga. Couldn't believe that motherfucker was saying that wild shit.
Bro, this motherfucker went so wild with it that the best three-point shooter in Duke history was like, this shit is getting too white right now. like think about
threw
that
his hands
shit.
Up. This right? is where like, I leave.
Yeah. Right?
This is where I draw the line.
But yo, I want to make it very, very clear. The Cousy slander is not necessarily slander of that era, because I think plenty of us think that there's a lot of, you know, legends from that era who would thrive at the very least into
Bill
the
Russell.
League, you know what I mean? Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, Elgin Facts. Baylor, Big Facts. O, Jerry Facts. West. Like, we for Facts. Sure think they would get money in today's league. Bob Cousy, though?
Bro, no. The motherfucker might no, as well sir. Have cut off his left arm. He didn't even think about using that shit in games. It's
that
fucking
motherfucker dribbled like he played the piano, like, you know? Like, there was no movement. That motherfucker fucking elbow got on his hip and stayed at a 90 degree, you know, fucking motion of movement for the whole fucking, for 11 rings or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, but it's crazy to hit him. He changed the game. You know what changed the game? Allowing niggas to play. That's what changed the game, motherfucker. Allowing more than two black people on a fucking team, bro. That's what changed the fucking game. And what's wild, if you want to attach yourself to a white man, you're in Boston. You got Bird right there. I'd be lying if I said that motherfucker wasn't a dog. You feel me? He would be killing in today's league. You want to attach yourself to this fucking 5'8" fucking dude that was teaching driving classes before he walked into the league? When motherfuckers say it was firemen and plumbers and that bitch, it really was, because I was a second job. There was 8 motherfucking teams, and there was 8 motherfuckers at the goddamn games, nigga. You fucking kidding me? 2 years before fucking Cousy came into the league, the fucking Globetrotters beat the NBA fucking champions that year. You feel me? Bro, that wasn't basketball, bitch. You feel me? I hate that shit. That shit, anyway, that shit gets under my skin, man.
The JJ Redick, welcome to the resistance.
Yes. Hold on, but the Globetrotters beat an NBA championship?
Yeah, I think he came in the league like 61, 62, but it was like 58, 59 around that time when like the Globetrotters played the NBA champions and beat their ass. It was around that time. Look that shit up, G. Dude, Wilt Chamberlain's first year he played for the Globetrotters.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a Wikipedia article. 1948, Globetrotters-Lakers game. When it was against the Minneapolis Lakers, took place 2 years before basketball was desegregated. The Globetrotters won 61-59 at the buzzer. Mm.
And there was probably like a grandma in a clown outfit who hit that game-winning bucket, knowing the Globetrotters. But like there was a 72-year-old black woman out there better than 27-year-old white man. You know what I mean? So, goddamn, I never knew that. I got to do some more research on that shit. That's interesting as fuck.
I need to read about that
game. Hell yeah.
Wait. Hold on. I'm like skimming the rest of this Wikipedia article. The game-winning shot. I don't know who these players are. But with only a seconds left, this is a direct quote from the Wikipedia article. Haynes flipped the ball to Irma Robinson.
Irma! Who was stationed. If it was Irma, that was legit. Might have been a 72-year-old grandma.
Stationed 30 feet from the basket, flexing his knees and holding the ball to his chest. Robinson let fly the one-handed shot. Hundreds of times a day on his childhood courts in San Diego.
The best
one-handed game-winning buzzer beater from 30
the
feet.
The best NBA team got beat on a trick shot is what I'm reading right
by
there.
By fucking Barnum and Bailey, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm telling you, bro. But if you look at the history, like it was absolute trash, bro. I think like Globetrotters games would have like 25,000 people, which back then was like a fucking, might as well have been a million people in one place.
That is a world's fair in 1937.
And the games, like the Celtics games would have like 800 people in that motherfucker. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm dead ass serious when I say Cousy was teaching driving classes prior to going to the fucking league. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, I think what's crazy is you mentioned the pivot for JJ Redick. I mean, this man was Jackal Redick in college, bro.
Bro, I was a Duke fan, and I was like, this nigga overrated. You know what I'm saying?
Jackal.
Who chose Duke because of Bobby Hurley was like, JJ Redick ain't it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this mother went from that to, I was like, he's overrated. He'll have 2-3 years in the league. He went from that to the dude now. You know what I'm saying?
He's one of my favorite media personalities in any sport. Like you're so right. He clearly, I mean, so the dude Mad Dog Russo, the dude that he was arguing with, who said Cousy changed the game. He's like a Cousy stan. He says that shit all the fucking time. And I guarantee you, JJ Redick filed some Cousy slander facts away in the back of his fucking head. Because he had that, because he hit him immediately with how many seasons did he shoot 40% or higher? He had that immediately. He was like zero.
Roasted his ass.
That motherfucker never shot over 40%. I think the highest he ever shot was 37% from the field. years when he shot 33%. This is the
first
motherfucker
team
that changed the game. Get the fuck out of here. I don't see no Kuzi in what we see today. You know what I'm saying? We saw Embiid do. I ain't see no Kuzi there. You feel me? Fuck out of here.
Yeah, man. Let's talk a little bit more about the Sixers-Raps game. So the Sixers are now up 3-0. I don't know that I think they particularly look that good, but they are up 3-0. Does Doc Rivers have it in him to blow a 3-0 lead? I feel like they're going to win the series.
Nah. He ain't blowing this one. Nah. You see that? You see it, Tyler?
No. I mean, but if there was
ever, you want it to happen?
I feel like if Doc holds this job, he'll never coach again in the league. And I feel like if there is ever a way for Doc Rivers to go out, if there is ever a way for Doc Rivers' curtain call to happen, it's blowing 3-0. But I don't think it's gonna happen though. I don't. You're supposed to win games like this, especially at home when you're going up against what looks like the better team. You got to win games you're supposed to win, as simple and as fucking basic as that shit sounds. You can't let games like this get away from you.
How good is Maxie, though?
He's ridiculously good. He's so
I did not come out of Kentucky. I did not see this for him.
It's like, I don't even think this is a hot take anymore where I say he should be that team's primary ball handler. Fuck Harden. Like, Harden got to get in where he fits in right now until he figures some shit out.
I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say the other wrinkle, I'm getting away from basketball, but the other wrinkle was, did you see the clip of Drake and Embiid after the game?
I heard. I didn't see it, though. I didn't see it.
Just full on. Drake's got a new big brother.
You saw that twinkle in his eye? You saw that dick imprint right in his fucking iris?
That
big
Nigerian
cock imprint right there in his fucking pupil.
Embiid's
Cameroonian dick print, sir. I'll have you know. Yeah.
My apologies. Cameroonian cock.
Embiid's trying to shit talk him. It's such classic Drake, because Embiid's trying to shit talk him. He's like, I'm coming back for the sweep too. And Drake's like, I'll be right here. He's like, I'll be watching.
With my good shoes on. With my hard bottoms.
This motherfucker.
Drake needs a mentor, bro. Drake needs a fucking boys and girls club. He needs a big brother.
I'll be right here.
That motherfucker is a human Dawson's Creek episode, dog. Like, God damn.
I'll be right here. What the fuck is that, man?
He's every NBA player's
Drake
pet. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm bringing Drake with me.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
game.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S., That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, Hoops fans, don't just watch all the NBA playoffs action. Be a part of it with FanDuel, an official partner of the NBA. Right now, all new customers get a risk-free first bet up to $1,000. Just place any bet on the NBA playoffs, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit. Lots of reasons to love FanDuel. The app is safe and easy to use. You get your winnings fast. There's tons of betting options. And of course, they've got their same game parlays. As far as our predictions for the playoffs, obviously you've been listening to us make those throughout the show. I would say personally, I really like the Timberwolves going back home in Minnesota to show up and take a lead in that series against the Grizzlies. Download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook today, using promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, and place your risk-free first bet for a chance to take home a W on basketball's biggest stage. Remember to use promo code JANJ for this amazing offer. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, let's talk about, you know, by far to me, and obviously we already mentioned Book's injury, but of all of the crazy games, and it's been a great playoff so far, the one that's far the most shocking to me is the Pelicans getting a split in Phoenix. And I know Book got hurt, but the Pelicans were up when he got hurt too. I mean, they earned a 1-1 split with Book being out. We'll see. I mean, I don't necessarily think the Pelicans are going to win, but they're playing game 3 to go up 2-1 at home. Like, that's fucking crazy to me. And that Pelicans team has really arrived early, man. I did not think they were. You guys talked about in a previous show, CJ gets so much credit, you know, for we're really seeing what he can do out there, you know, as the front veteran guy. But fuck, I did not see this shit being a 1-1. I thought this was I was barely going to bother to watch this series.
B.I., you've been peeping that? You've been peeping B.I. in that series?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. 37 last game.
Sheesh.
Be different.
What I will say is, like, you know, it was when it took them 30 points from Booker in the first half to be up 5 going into half. You know what I'm saying? And when Booker was out, like, they got their ass cooked. And Booker not being there for these two games and the way they're playing, you know, and I, you know, starting off in the season, they were like, the fact that they even made the play-in was wild to us. They started off like 3-16 or some shit. They're a totally different team from that, you know, from that team that we saw early in the season with CJ in there, BI looking great. You feel me? Like, I could see them without Booker 2-2, 3-1, maybe. Like, Booker may come back. And shit may not be sweet, bro. And with Booker, they could come back from that deficit. But I don't know, G. Like, it's
blood in the water right now.
The Suns might not make it out this series. The Suns might not make it out this series.
If you're a championship aspirational team,
you really don't win championships if you sweat this much in the first round, from what we've seen historically. You know what I mean? Like if you sweat this much in the first round, as we think it might go with book out, like, you know, teams that they see the fucking, you know, the weaknesses in your armor, they know what to attack, and you're probably out of there before you can get to the finals or win the finals. So I don't know. This is, you know, of course I hope book can come back as soon as possible at full strength, but I don't know, man. It's something. 'Cause the first game, the Pels were making them sweat a bit too. Like, they went down big early and then they came back like late in third before, you know, Phoenix
Chris Paul
away,
had to go god mode in the fourth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris Paul had to go like all time great point guard mode in the fourth to pull that shit off. So I don't know, man. We'll see.
And he's missing at least two games, right? It could be more. Yeah. Also, that's a lingering injury.
And it's a hammy.
It's a lingering. So, right, he's not going to be healthy again until the season's over. You know what I'm saying? Like, fully healthy. So
that's the other thing that I wanted to say about Chris Paul, because, you know, he played, so that fourth quarter in game one was like a perfect quarter God of basketball, mode, basically. Yes. And then he just, you know, he just didn't really have it in game two. And I heard what Chuck said on Inside afterwards, I thought was a really interesting point, where he said, you know, as someone who played late into my age, I had a long career. What I'll tell you is, and I thought about this after game one, because, you know, Chuck's a big Suns fan. Like, he's rooting for the Suns right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, the difference is, if you're all-time great, you still have it when you're old, but you don't have it the next night or the night after that. And he said, you know, when I got deep into my career, if I turned it all the way up, I put the gas pedal all the way down, it would take two or three games sometimes before I really felt bouncy and like I had it again. And I think I do think we saw that from Chris Paul. And especially if Book's missing time, they can't have him at, I'm old and I can do it every two or three games. You know what I mean? I don't think that their margin of victory, that margin of victory got real fucking small with that Devin Booker injury. So we'll see what happens. But look, we and everyone else, it's like Suns Bucks rematch. And Tyler, you just said it. The teams in the finals don't usually sweat that much. And both those teams are sweaty as fuck right now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man.
The Bucks are playing a better team. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Suns are the number one team in the fucking West. They're playing the worst team in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, the worst, they had the worst record coming into the playoffs. And there's been two good games. You know what I'm saying? Like, and even with Book there, like you said, it would have been a hard fought win if he was to finish out game two. So just, you know, 2 days ago, we were like, you know, the Suns will cook the Warriors if they played the Warriors. You know what I'm saying? But it'd be a good series, bruh. I mean, that's how quick the playoffs change, like you were saying, Mike. You know what I mean? That's how quick the shit changes.
And what I love about it, because I think you almost have to lean into the overreactions. It could be just as much the other direction. You know, we record again in a couple of days. Like, it's just every game is so important. That's what makes the shit so fun. I don't think that's it for basketball. We do have a couple of this and that items. Was there anything you guys wanted to say about any of the other series?
I think we've talked enough basketball.
Enough of the shootings.
John's had enough.
Oh, I would also like to say that in regards to the Bob Cousy slander, this man said Donald Trump was the most extraordinary president of his life. So do not feel bad about us piling on this man. We can move on to the
Robert Cousy said this?
Yes.
Bro, didn't while he receive, get like a medal of honor? While, like, yeah, Trump gave him
a medal of honor
medal.
From Trump. He said, I'm honored to have received this from the most extraordinary president of my life. So, yeah.
Wow, he really is all fucking right. There you go. Okay. Let's
look at Mike.
Got him.
Got him. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now for a very special cock talk segment.
Oh, wow.
Let's talk about Snickers bars.
Dick vein talk. Dick vein cock talk. Cock talk bullet point _ A bullet point. Dick vein Snickers talk. Yes.
Snickers came out today with a statement that said, despite the pernicious rumor that had been circulating on Twitter.
I love that word.
The vein
they just searched
remain.
For the most penis similar ass ad, you know, verb right there. So, you know what I mean?
Yes. Alliteration. So, yeah. Can we call it
yes.
that?
But someone had said they're getting rid of the vein, and they posted a Photoshop picture of a perfectly smooth Snickers bar, which I have to agree was quite disturbing.
It was unnerving as fuck. I'm used to my Snickers looking like dicks, man. Yeah, we just have to call it what it is, bro. If you gave me a Snickers that didn't have the dick vein in it, I am wondering what the fuck is going on right now. Tell me, no, seriously, you tell me you unwrap a Snickers, ain't no dick vein in it, you ain't gonna look at this motherfucker like, what the fuck is this, and like put it down and wonder where they went wrong right there with that one.
How is a caramel traveling through it? That's what I'm gonna be wondering. Yeah. You know, it's just
y'all are nasty. Yeah, no, I mean, like, don't I agree, but the way we're talking about this is unnerving. Tyler's so adamant about the dick vein.
They have normalized the dick vein. I expect to see a dick vein on a Snickers. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if it's normalized, but yes, something similar to a dick vein needs to be on a Snickers. A smooth Snickers, like you said, is a little unnerving. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be aghast if I were to see a smooth Snickers.
If I can get theoretical, the Snickers as a candy bar should not work. It is such a weird assortment of things. Chocolate, nougat, caramel, and peanuts. If I put those things in front of you next to each other, you would not think, let me squish these together and eat it. It will be one of the most iconic candy bars of all time. It's a really weird assortment of things. And I actually do think if you put it in a perfect rectangle, it almost calls attention to how weird it is. Whereas when it's, you know, it's got the vein on top. It looks Twix almost even got homemade. Dick
veins. There might be something there with the dick vein and chocolate
Twix,
bars.
Twix it just got makes like, it feel Twix, like Twix something like that arrived. Yeah.
Twix got dick ridges more than dick. Twix is like rib for your
if
pleasure.
We're keeping it honest, you know what I'm saying? If we're keeping it honest, Twix actually looks like the other. It doesn't look like a dick.
I never noticed that. Yeah. After you peel it back a bit and push it out,
I am way too high for any of this shit right now.
Jesus damn.
Christ! But yeah, it does, and I'm tweaking. I'm tweaking. You right.
Let's before we get to the last subject, Jerry West today issued a press release and did an interview with the LA Times, demanding an apology and a retraction from Winning Time. And I think he gave them a 2 weeks deadline. They've got 2 weeks to apologize.
No way.
Which no almost way. Makes it seem more believable that he was a dickhead. That deadline is
that
something
is
that
dickhead move.
That Winning Time Jerry West would do. You know what I mean?
Do motherfuckers not have older brothers? I just like... You're really going to issue a press release that says I'm offended by this? Just like, I don't know, man.
Apologize to me. I will never release a press release telling a motherfucker to apologize. If I'm ever releasing a press release, it's like, see you in court. I'm about to hit you for like millions of dollars. Like, that was the only time I would ever talk to the fucking see press about anything. See you in court, motherfucker. See you about to get sued. That is so wild. It's like, apologize. Now or like, within 10 business days. Who the fuck is this guy, man? That motherfucker listened to an ultimatum on you know, feeling emotion about him. Like, what the fuck, dog?
On a dramatization. But what's crazy about this, the show doesn't feel like a dramatization. And I think people being so mad about it, I've never seen a show where more people that it was depicting were mad about their depiction. And it made it seem more real. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Usually if that happens, you think, oh, they're fucking up. I'm like, nah. This makes me feel like, for whatever reason, it stamps the depictions that we're seeing in Winning Time.
Yeah, and I'll recognize that, like, for example, I mean, the Jerry West and Kareem depictions, I think, absolutely are caricatures for the sake of the show, which is that I'm trying to watch an entertaining TV show. I'm not trying to watch it.
But it comes from a real place, though. It comes from a real place.
And right. You also have, like, Magic basically saying the same stuff about, you know, no one was consulted, et cetera, et cetera. I have my own documentary coming out that shows how much I love my family, blah, blah, blah. Like, someone just posted the clip he did of the interview that came out after he announced that he had the virus, where he's talking about all the shit he was doing. It's like, I don't that know, man, Magic, there's some truth that, in there, bro.
Bro, that man gave the LeBron, not two, not three, not four, not five, about getting ass speech. You know what I'm saying? NBA player.
About dropping dick off.
About dropping dick off. He's like, shit, I don't know. I might have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know? And then he finds a big ass magic smile here to ear. Like, you know, I was getting all types of ass out of here. Oh, yeah.
You know, women have dreams, and you know, you want to make sure that you don't fulfill them. I'm like,
damn, magic.
But you're magic.
Nigga was the dick fairy out here, like, just dropping dick off. Fulfilling dreams. Like, he was like, yo, I am the dick fairy. How can you blame me? Look at this smile. You know what I'm saying?
Magic like a motherfucker. You feel right? Me?
The quote that's
you
like,
can make
you
the dick disappear. Show me
quote.
A magic trick, my nigga. That no-look dick drop-off, you feel me?
No-look dick drop-off.
You get dick.
Listen, man.
Holy shit.
Magic was the fucking biggest star in L.A. in the 80s. Like, what do we expect from that? You know what I mean? Is anyone surprised at the Magic did exactly what
a motherfucking name Magic was supposed to do, who played for the Lakers in the fucking 80s, okay?
Yeah. Low key, I'm more shocked that he didn't come out that bitch with a cocaine addiction. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like he
good for you, Magic.
Right. Like, let's applaud him for that at least. Right. And fucking AC Green, don't get me started on that motherfucker. How was he not fucking or not doing nothing in the 80s in LA? On the Showtime Lakers, and this motherfucker just going home at 7:30 every night, not leaving
that
the crib.
That motherfucker was fucking beating his dick like a speed bag, y'all. You know he was going crazy on that motherfucker in the crib, though. Come on, something. You know what I'm saying? He's human.
It is kind of wild how we know that AC Green was a virgin, though. Like, what does that have to do with basketball? Like, his whole thing is like, I played a whole lot of games in a row and I never fucked. That's me. That's who I am. Like, I'm the Iron Man and the Iron Man because I ain't never got this shit off. You know,
I'm the most non-pussy getting nigga you've ever met in your life, nigga.
I'm the most durable non-pussy getting this motherfucker ever in your
Never seen a nigga not get pussy like me, motherfucker.
Will I play 384 games straight? Yes. Will I get ass? No.
Next question. Can I get a hell no?
AC Green really made a whole identity around there being no caramel moving through his Snickers bar dick vein. That's truly incredible.
And that's the show, guys. See you next time.
No, okay. One piece of advice for Jerry was, we've all been slandered. You don't get someone to stop slandering you by talking about how sad it makes you that you're being slandered. What you do is you do an interview and say, well, I hope Adam McKay is really happy with this show. It cost him his best fucking friend. Ooh. I hope he's sleeping well at night, not talking to his best friend.
You're a meanie,
like,
Mike. You're a big old meanie.
But that's how you do it. If you feel like a dude's taking you out of his name, don't call the LA Times and say this is making me really sad. Like, throw some fire.
I might have
back.
Been
he's
an asshole,
Adam
but
McKay,
at least I'm not
bro.
A bitch.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because hey, that was some hoe ass shit Adam did. That was some hoe ass shit for sure.
You know, I'm loyal to the people. Unlike the person who made Winning Time, who fucked over his. But like, you know, bring something back like that, bro. Come on,
he doesn't have the internet. He doesn't know the rules.
He's too old.
He's too old, man.
Speaking of the passage of time, because this is our last subject, I had to get this in because this shit was cracking me up too much. John had a special rite of passage as a father today.
Bro, it was the perfect fucking storm.
Explain it. Please explain the scene for people who didn't see your tweet.
Okay, so to end it, and then I'll go backwards. I had to shit with my daughter in my hands today, okay? Now, let me explain how we got there. It all started back in St.
Record
Louis.
Record scratch. You're probably wondering.
This some goddamn Quentin Tarantino nonlinear storytelling about a deuce getting dropped off. I'm invested, bro.
No, but like, dog, okay, it's really simple. My wife was out here giving a presentation. We working from the crib, right? Somi's teething. She had been crying all fucking night. I had Mexican food the night before, and I had it late. So it didn't quite get to digest like it should have prior. I think I went to bed like 40 minutes after I ate. So I'm waking up, you know, the nanny gives me the shorty, like she wakes me up, and I'm holding her. And I'm like, yo, something is blip bloop blapping in this motherfucker. You feel me? In my stomach. That motherfucker was doing backflips. I'm like, all right, we good, though. Cool. So like it came a point when I'm trying to okay, maybe somebody can go to sleep. I'm trying to put her to sleep, you know what I'm saying? So I can put her down and go shit. I'm like, yo, I try to put her down. She wasn't for it. She's like, nah, nigga, you gonna have to hold me, my G. So I'm holding her like, yo, I'm at a point right now. You know, I gotta make a decision. Am I gonna shit on myself? Or am I gonna shit with my daughter in my hand? I can't leave her crying while Rather's giving a presentation at the fucking gig. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just managed to sit down, get that deuce off while holding so me. And what's wild though is when I tweeted it, how many people understood. Some people were like, congratulations, you're finally fucking here. We've been waiting on you. Welcome. You know what I'm saying? You're officially your fucking dad. And that's what's wild to me. And also, like you said, like you wonder, you know, you're probably wondering how I got here. I think father or parenthood is that like every 14 hours, but literally every other parent knows exactly how you got there. You know what I'm saying? It's so fucking wild. But yeah, I had to take a shit with my baby in my hands today. Almost made it 40 years, guys. Almost made it. Life happens. Snuck in right before the cutoff. You know what I mean?
Special moments. Magic memories. Oh, man. Did you hear Reggie Miller telling you it was your Kodak moment as it was happening?
This is your Kodak moment.
Fuck. All right, shit. That's all the time we got. That's all the show we got time for. We'll be back on Monday. I think it's Monday. I think we're recording Sunday night. But thank you for watching basketball with us. We're having fun. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi. Jackie here, founder of Exo Jackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, Exo Jackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at exojacqui.com. Made for women by women.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at reservebar.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.